This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
You know, I'm one of those guys that I think normally you need to get hear a name about 10 times and you'll remember it. With me, it's 20 or maybe 30 times. I remember the faces, but the names I'm not good at. But to get to the serious stuff, this is really serious. When I was standing there at the back listening to all the worship, and Tian came and he shared his word, and Michaela sang her song, there are two people, there are more than one of each maybe, but two people in this church tonight that have to respond to the call. The song that she sang was, God invites us to come to Him. And I can come to Him, I'm a sinful man, and He will tell me I'm free. There's somebody here tonight that feel not loved, that even feel Jesus is not loving you. You've got a tough time. You don't know what to do. You feel nobody cares. God tells you tonight, at the end of this service, come to the front that we will pray for you. And we will ask with God what He wants to do in your life. The other person is somebody that is like I was a couple of years ago. I remember I was in a... We were in some meeting at the church somewhere, and one of the leaders that spoke stopped in front of me and he said, you need to start talking. God wants you to talk and not keep quiet. And there's somebody in this church tonight that needs to stand up and listen to what God tells you to do and tell others. Don't be ashamed. Father, we thank You for this evening. We thank You for the day that You have made. And I want to pray tonight that You will touch our hearts. It's not about me speaking. It's not about anybody here. It's about You. And we just want to praise Your name and ask that You will touch our hearts. Amen. I want to start off with a question. We can go to the first slide. My question is, are we serious? And who is here this morning? I just want to see how many people will hear this question the second time. It's good, but you know, we are blessed with a small group that's really participating, if I can call it that. They talk, we share, we differ, we discuss things, and sometimes not easy, but we do it. And I want that for us all. And when I mentioned this Wednesday, we were talking and I said, are we serious? That's a question that came to my mind. And typically from the group, they said, what do you mean? And my answer is, are we serious with our relationship with God? And are we serious with the outcome of my relationship with God? What I mean with that is, this is... my relationship with God have an influence? Does it change my life? Does it make me a different person? Does it make me do something, not sit and listen? I actually came back tonight because I forgot a lot of things this morning, and now I'm saying that, so you're going to sit there for only 2 hours, then we'll be done. I was actually thinking we need to start reading at Genesis 1 verse 1 and up to the end. It's only going to take us 74 hours. You know that. It's only 74 hours to read through the whole Bible. So we might go back to work by Wednesday morning, 8 o'clock, we should make it. And I think we will come out here a lot of changed people. Because you know what? If there's one book on the earth that can change your life, it's the Bible. We read a lot of books and we see a lot of things, but there's nothing like the Bible that can change our life. Just read it and do it. That's what God wants from us. Be obedient. Can I ask another same question that I asked this morning? Who of you prayed for today? Very few. Because you didn't get the message, am I right? We ask on the WhatsApp for basically the whole church that we pray for tonight that God will talk to us about relationships. And we're going to touch on the relationships. And this morning we focused on marriage. And how many married people are here tonight? Whether you are not with your partner, but a couple. And the response I got from a couple people that's not married was such that I thought maybe we must share the same message this evening because it will encourage a lot of you. Tian, you were here this morning. Okay. Do you feel like that? Do you agree with that? Okay. If Tian says so, that means a lot to me. Okay. All right. So, what I want you to do now is, because you didn't get the message, I just want you to pray by yourself for 2 minutes. Just 2 minutes. Just don't look on your phone. I hope your phones are on flight mode. I'm going to say something about phones later on, phones and whatever. We'll get to that. But if you don't look on your phone, switch it off. I hope it's somewhere where you can't see it. But I want you to pray and pray seriously about what we see on that screen. Because that's what basics that we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about our attitudes in any kind of relationship. We're going to talk about the basic principles of relationships. Important things, how to handle, what you do in relationships. We're not going to... Okay, my notes is a little bit different because I changed it a little bit. We're going to talk about the platform of marriage, and we're going to share about that a little bit because I think there are definitely value for you guys that's not married and a lot of value for you that are married. Right, and then basically that's what we're going to talk about. So I want you to have a look at that and pray for 2 minutes. And the reason I want you to pray about it is I want you to ask God to tell you something about that. If we go on through this night, that you can put up your hand and you can tell me, I've got something that I heard from God about this. I want to add to that or share with the church. Okay. So 2 minutes, just be by yourself and pray to God and ask Him to tell you something about that. I trust that somebody has heard something, but we'll hear a bit later. Okay. If we talk about relationship, there are a couple of things which I call the attitude we go into any relationship that is crucial. And the first one is your attitude towards people that are battling, that have a difficult time. And I call it if you stand. If you stand, beware. And pray to God. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12. Therefore, whoever thinks he is standing securely should watch out so he doesn't fall. Can you read that below that? Is it big enough? Or you have the problem that I have. I can't read further than that anymore. I'm going to go through that quickly. What was Paul referring to? Couple verses earlier in the previous chapter, Paul compares the Christian life to a foot race. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. We must go full out for the prize. Now this part is written by who in this church have seen the or read the book or seen the movie The Cross and the Switchblade? David Wilkerson. This was written by David Wilkerson. He said, the apostle is saying, I have to run this faith race with determination. I can't allow anything to disqualify me. So if I want to finish this run to glory, I have to bring my flesh under subjection. I have to gain mastery over it. This is from somebody that really went full out for Christ. I think we know the story of the cross and the switchblade. Or I don't know, who don't know the story of the cross and the cross and the switchblade? You've never read it. It's an old book. I think it was written in the 70s. It came from the Brooklyn area in New York. This guy was a minister, and God tell him to leave his ministry basically where he was and went to Brooklyn to work with the gangsters. And one of the biggest converts from his work was Nicky Cruz, who wrote the book Run, Baby, Run. Have you read that? You've got to read that book because that is what happened in gangster life in New York. It's something that will change or have a huge impact on your life. Almost as a book, like most of you know, John Bevere, Bite of Satan. That's a life-changing book. Not as good as the Bible, but it will open your eyes and see something. Okay, let's go on. The second is value others. Who of you have done, go up to, what do we call it nowadays? E3, whatever, F3, what? Legacy. Have you done Legacy? You've done it? Can you remember that you must see others higher than yourself? Can you remember that? You need to do Legacy again. If you haven't done it, you must do it. You know what? We are blessed in this church with a lot of teaching, with a lot of sound teachings, learnings, whatever you want to call it. In our Bible school, we have the Encounter series and whatever. You need to go through that. That is not the end all. That's not that will change your life permanently, but it will have an impact on your life, and it will give you something that you can hold on, that you understand. It makes you understand things. Okay. Right. The third thing. Never judge. I'm talking so much that I forget what was the first point. But try to remember these points, because we're going to refer back to them. I'm going to ask you to remember this. Never judge. And this was also mentioned, I think, by Philip about 2 weeks ago. The log in our own eyes and the speck in the other's eyes. I'm not going to read through this. You probably know this verse very well, this portion very well. But I want to say a couple of things about this. And forgive me. No, don't forgive me. I'm going to say it. Don't just make of it what you want. But I'm going to say a couple of things that might be a little bit uneasy to answer. But we need to be honest with ourselves. You know, if you come to Jesus for the first time, you need to realize that you are a sinful person. If you don't realize that, there's no way you can grow. Am I right? Right. So the same, if you want to grow as a Christian, there are a couple of things we need to realize. Are we ever going to be not a sinful person? Can we? No, we can't. We're going to sin until the day we die. And for me, it's much closer than most of you. So for me, it becomes a reality. You know, it's strange how you start to think different when you get a little bit. I'm not old. I'm just married for 40 years, but that's, you know, it's almost 40. But I'm a little bit older than you guys, than most of you, and you start to think differently about life, about values. You realize, but it's not more than. I'm going to mention this. My mother turned 96 a week ago. Now 96 is a bit of a. I'm not so sure if I want to get there, to be honest, because my mother said to us about 3 weeks ago, she said, you know what, don't wish me another good year. I'm tired. And you can see that. She's tired. But she had a good life. And she set a good example for all of us, a lot of things. And what I'm just... want to say is I realize that it's maybe 30 years from now, most of you, 30 years, you will be at the height of your career. 30 years from now, I will probably be not here anymore. The chances are very good. So I need to think of it becomes a reality. But all of us know that any one of us can go tonight. So actually, it must be just a good reality for everybody. It doesn't matter what your age is. Just because of statistics, my chance, mine is closer than most of you. I got a bit of a sidetrack here, but if I think about this log in my own eyes, how often do you hear somebody say, you know, our small group or our church, this and this and this, that preacher or that leader is, you know, they don't do it. They don't make it. What do the young people say? I remember somebody said that. And we're critical. But you know what? What does this scripture say to us? This thing about pointing the finger, how many point to yourself? We need to get to that point. We realize that the problem is with me. First of all, if we get into relationships, and this is why I'm mentioning this, if we're in relationships, you struggle in a relationship, do you look at the other person or do you look at yourself? You look at yourself. If you differ from somebody, and there's scripture for that, I'm not going to get all the scriptures, but there's scripture for that. If you differ from somebody, you go in love. If you can't go in love, you change your own heart first, and then you go and talk to somebody. But if you can't talk in love, you don't talk. Right. So we've got those three important principles or basics that we need, that sort of defines our attitude in a relationship. And then we're going to a little bit practical things. And that is, if you look at the next slide, yeah, I call it back to basics. Can you read what's on the screen? Or is it too small? I tried to make it large, and I thought it was big enough, but in any case. Now, I want to refer back to what we do in the training we do in, most of you haven't done it yet, so I really hope that you'll be encouraged to go through that. It will give you so much background. It's really worthwhile going through all this just to have the basic knowledge and understand what it's all about. Because sometimes we read the Bible and we go through that. We join maybe a small group. Who of you are not in a small group? Everybody in a small group. Fantastic. That's good. Because a small group is where you can share, where you can learn, where you can open your heart and go through a lot of these things in a practical way. Sort it out. That's not the place where you teach. That's a place where you share and practice and encourage each other. Now, the important thing I want to talk tonight, no, that's not the most important thing. We get to the most important a bit later. But part of this part of relationship is communication. In those training material, you will go through communication and what's important about communication, why we do it, and with that also forgiveness. I can't remember if I have it on the slides, but you know that forgiveness is not an option for a Christian. Do you know that? You look at me like you are not with me. Forgiveness is not an option. Must I say it again? Forgiveness is not an option. What is it? You don't have a choice. You have to do it. If you're a Christian, if you're a son of God, one of these courses we talk about the sonship. We are sons of God. Why? Because He died for us. Because He paid for us. Because He loves us. He invites us to come to Him. Right. So, out of that, we can say we accept Him as our Savior, and then we don't have a choice. It's part of our life. That's where we are. You know, in the early church, and you'll see there, I mentioned the Sermon on the Mount. Who gave the Sermon on the Mount? Who gave the Sermon on the Mount? Who was the preacher? What we're talking about here? Jesus. Can you remember that? Matthew 5. Thank you. Matthew 5. Jesus, what did He say? A couple of things. Who can help me? I'm a little bit deaf. You need to talk a bit louder. That's one thing when you get older, you know, it's like that's can get quite funny between the two of us when we talk to each other. You need to sometimes shout where others just normally talk. And if you drive with me in a car and you don't look at me, I don't hear what you say. Remember that. If you ever are with me in a car. So what did Jesus say? Help me out on this. Just name a couple of things. Can I remind you of one? Do good to those who bless those who. Can you remember that? Now, you know there are people who wrote down history of the early Christians. The early Christians took that seriously. I'm going back to my question in the beginning. Are we serious? Are we serious when we say we want to follow Jesus? If we look at that Sermon on the Mount, we listen to that, we read it. Are we serious? Are we willing to do that? Am I willing to lay down my life? And say, who was here when Vanessa Goosen gave a while ago? What did she say? Okay, one thing. I'm going to tell you what I remember. She said, we're going to be, what was it, fools or weird or what did she call that? What? I can't hear you. Yeah. Yeah, weird for Christ. Are we willing to be weird for Christ? You know, we focus on our work and we relationship, well, love relationships and marriages and children and blah, 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 we can carry on. We focus on a lot of things on this earth. But these things, and we're going to see it a bit later, it's a couple of years from now, it's a blink of an eye and we're gone. And then that thing means nothing. Really, nothing. it's not to say we can't enjoy it. We can enjoy it while we're here, and we'll get to that also a little bit later, because there are a lot of things in this world that we can enjoy, really enjoy. But we need to remember, the most important is, God wants our hearts. Can I say it again? God wants our hearts. He wants a relationship with us. The Bible, that's another quite interesting conversation you can have in your small groups. We did it once and say, just say to me what the Bible means to you. What do you see the Bible is? But don't tell me what you've learned in Bible school or some what you heard from some theologian or whatever. What does the Bible mean to you? Is the Bible a law book? Or is it a history book? What is it in the first place? Can I tell you? It's a love book. It's from the creator of the earth, from not the only the earth, the whole universe, that loves you and me as a person. It's a love book and what he did for us. And the focus is the relationship between God and men. All right, so also you'll see the other point that I mentioned there is the fruit of the Spirit. Who wrote that? Who talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and where do we read that? Paul wrote to who? Galatians 5, 20 to 22, whatever. Do we take it seriously? I'm asking it again. Are we serious? Or do we read it? And I think it's maybe my next slide. No, not yet. But I can ask it now. Are we serious about it, or do we read it and we forget it after when we walk out the door? Or you read it in the morning, half an hour later you forget it. Does my relationship with God, whenever I do spend time with Him, does it change my life on a daily basis, constantly? Am I in a relationship with Him? Now I want to ask one of you to read for us 2 Peter 1, verse 3 to 15. Can somebody read that for us? Any volunteer? Nobody? You don't want to hear it?
2 Peter chapter 1. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with the generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in the way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus. Therefore, I will always remind you of these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you have been taught. And it is only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life. So I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I'm gone.
Because I know that the removal of my bodily tent will come soon, as indeed our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, has shown me. That was Peter. He knew he was going home sometime soon. God told him. And he talked about the faith and the supplement to the faith. Did you pick up the supplement of the faith? I'm going to repeat that. Moral character with knowledge. Knowledge with self-control. Self-control with endurance. Endurance with godliness. Godliness with brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness with love. Is that what lives in our hearts? Is that what lives in my heart? And I'm thinking about what James said. James talked about faith and works. What is a supplement? What is a supplement? The definition of supplement is to add something for efficiency, make up for deficiency. And this is what God wants us to do. If you look at those words again, I'm going to read it again. Moral character with knowledge. Knowledge with self-control. Self-control with endurance. Endurance with godliness. Godliness with brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness with love. The next slide is just coming back to what I said earlier. We need to forgive. And this is the scriptures. And I want to read this. Forgiveness. To forgive others is not an option. Matthew 6, because if you forgive people their offenses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive people their offenses, your Father will not forgive your offenses. And in Matthew 18, there's a couple of things that happened before, and then these words, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each one of you unless you forgive your brother from your hearts. Unless you forgive your brother from your hearts. If somebody offends you, if you've got a problem with somebody, you need to forgive that person from your heart. We'll get a good example a couple minutes later about forgiveness from the heart. When Mark 11 verse 25, whenever you stand up to pray, forgive whatever you have against anyone so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins. 11 verse 26, but if you do not forgive, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. That is how serious it is, forgiveness. Why do we refer to this? Do you remember we're talking about relationship? Relationship, there are different relationships. We get into this world in a family. It's you and your parents and maybe your brothers and sisters. Then you get to a school friends come. Then you get to varsity, then you get to a workplace, and you get work friends, and you've got superiors, and you've got maybe people underneath you. We are in a church. We've got married and unmarried people. We've got people that's lonely. That's all different relationships. And all of this it's important to remember in any relationship we are. It's very important to know what God wants from you in any relationship. Then I've got another point, and it's to make peace. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. If you know somebody's got something against you, this is what God wants us to do. Go to that person, make peace. So we need to forgive. We need to make peace. What else? We are now at point three, point four. Love one another. John 13, verse 34. I'm giving you a new commandment. A commandment. To love one another. Just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. This is how everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So if we are in a church and we don't love one another, will people from outside be attracted to this church? Will they think these people have something? I'm sure not. We need to work on that. And I want to refer to Paul's words to Romans, where he said, we need Well, actually, to Corinthians, the verse that I refer that I had earlier on, we need to run this race. We need to go full out for this. We can't go half-half. You know, what is the English for low? Lukewarm. You can't be lukewarm. This is scripture. Am I right? We can't be lukewarm. You are either for Christ or you are against Christ. And that brings me back to my question. Are we serious? Are we really serious with our relationship with God? The next slide is just what I want to put on my heart. It's about our hearts. Are we serious? And I asked it a couple of minutes ago, and I said, do we read these scriptures, and a few minutes later we forget it again? It won't help us if we read and we don't do. You know that John 3 verse 16. What does John 3 verse 16 say to us? For God so loved the world. We all know that. Am I right? Do you know what's the last verse in that same chapter? I think it's verse 36. Look it up. It talks about obedience. Now, if you read those two verses together, to believe, faith, is equal to obedience. That's why James will write, show me your faith, or show me, what? How does he put it? Help me. Who can help me on that? Show me your faith by your works. The fruit of the Spirit. What we do, how we treat people, all of these things. Okay. The next slide, I've went through that already, the different relationships. I'm not going to go to that. Then we get to the marriage. Marriage has got... Now, we are going through a lot of theoretical stuff now, and then we'll share a bit more, which will come out of my heart. And I hope it will mean something to you. I trust it will. We'll see. Marriage has got a primary purpose and a secondary purpose. The primary purpose is it's established by God as a covenant, not as a contract. Malachi 2 verse 14 and Proverbs 2 verse 16, 17. You can write that down if you want to read that afterwards. It's important to understand the difference between the two. There are three basic differences. A covenant is based on trust between parties. A contract is based on distrust. A covenant is based on unlimited responsibility. A contract is based on limited liability. A covenant cannot be broken if new circumstances occur. A contract can be voided by mutual consent. So it depends on how you see a marriage. If you see the marriage like God intended it, it's forever. It's till we die, that most of us say when we stand there in the church the day we say, I'll stay with you until we die. And then the problem comes, the issues come, and they come. Is marriage easy? Most of you that's not married come out of a family, and you know what went on in that family. Am I right? Even if you were in a family like I come from, where it was relative stable, because there is no 100% stable marriage. It doesn't exist because we are sinful human beings. Marriage is not, it's not happening by itself. You need to work on it. How many of you have heard in your life that marriage is 100%, not a 50-50? Especially those of you that's been married, probably people told you. Am I right? What does 100%, 100% mean? Can I give you an example of my own marriage? If if my wife gets angry with you, with me, and I feel it's unfair, I didn't do anything wrong, because this is what I did is normal. Everybody do it. But something triggered her. What is my 100%? It's her problem? Am I right? No, I'm wrong. It's my problem. I did something, whatever it is. So if I'm not going to look into my own heart and see maybe what did I do to trigger that, whether she's unreasonable or not, if she's unreasonable, that is her problem. What is my problem? I call it a problem. Responsibility is actually a better word to use. Her responsibility is to sort out with God how she's acting or reacting towards me. What is my responsibility? To say, well, you know what I said? Judge? Three fingers pointing myself. We are, especially men, we are very easy to say, I've done nothing wrong. Because we don't understand the emotions of the women. And for, am I right? You know, it's actually sad, but it's so true. You get into a marriage, and we get to that later, but you come from two different families, so it's different cultures, actually. And I'm going to give you an example again. Apart from that, it's two individual personalities. She's much more emotional than me. I'm sort of, you know, just carry on. And don't think really always what I do. So I need to start thinking. That's my 100. Well, I'm trying to give my 100%. I have to give my 100%. What she do is what is her responsibility. I can't expect from her or tell her what's her 100%. I can tell her what my problems is. We need to be open. That's why we had a marriage enrichment yesterday, which was quite nice, quite good. We talked about communication, one of the things that we talked about. And it's very important to be able to listen to the other person. So there must be communication. The fact that I'm the emotional thing between me and her, it's got nothing to do, or it has something to do with it, but it's a little bit different, can I say, level than the communication. The communication will make it better. But there will always be the emotional things that, because we think different, because we come from different backgrounds, in our case, we are now living almost 40 years together. So now I'm going to tell you a secret. We're getting used to a lot of things, and we know a lot of things because we've been together for a number of years. Who have you been married for 10 years? Except Jaco. You don't count, Jaco. Anybody else close to 10 years? 5 years? 5 years. Okay. You know, I think our first fight was actually after a week. And I won't tell you that one. Maybe it's some other title. Because I was stupid. And you know what? We need to get to that point where I can say to people, I was stupid. And I'll tell you one of the most stupid things I've done in my life in a while. Okay. Right. So, marriage, as God intended, it models what should be our relationship with God. So I talked a little bit of nonsense. Well, not nonsense, but because I hope it's of value to you that you can understand. We laugh about it and we see funny in that, but it's actually serious, because those things make that my marriage with her doesn't represent God's relationship with his church. That's what the marriage is supposed to be primarily. Then we look at the secondary purpose of marriage. And this is, you remember a couple of minutes ago I said we can enjoy things. There are lots on the earth that we can enjoy, and I'm going to mention a couple of things that hopefully it will make you think. Now, The first thing is companionship. The affection, love, and true companionship which grow out of oneness of spirit as each partner models Christ's unconditional love. Amos 3 verse 3. Enjoyment. The physical relationship is a reflection of the loyalty and affection shared among marriage partners who have become one flesh. Hebrews 13 verse 4. You know what that refers to. It's the sexual relationship between a husband and his wife. That's where it's supposed to be, not outside of the marriage. If you do these courses, we always talk about, you know, your bedroom is a holy place. That's where this belongs, but you can enjoy it. We can enjoy each other's companionship. Fruitfulness. God made us to the blessing of children in marriage. Children is a blessing. You've heard that I've got five of them, and those five have got another more use. Most of you that's in the church know the little ones running around. A couple of them are actually our grandchildren. Four of them. Of these that's here every Sunday. We enjoy them. We can enjoy them. There are so many things we can enjoy. Protection. Now, this is where many marriages have a huge problem if it comes to the secondary level. The husband protects the wife by laying down his life for her. Ephesians 5 verse 25. The wife is to protect the home. Titus 2 verse 4 and 5. And the parents together protect their children to raise up a godly seed. Malachi 2 verse 15. Psalm 112 verse 1 and 2. Now this is something that I think Yaku is the only one. Do you others? I don't know. Do you have kids? Not yet. If you get to the point where you've got kids, most of you will get married sometime. Protect your children. That's your responsibility. That's why, one of the reasons why God made the covenant of the marriage. You can enjoy each other, enjoy things together, be fruitful, have kids. You've got to protect your kids. And you know what? Unfortunately, in today's life, we have a huge problem with technology. Huge. You know what I refer to? All these kiddies programs on television, and you get them now on apps, on tablets and whatever. You get to meetings where parents sit together and they have maybe a braai or whatever. And what do? They put the children one side and they've got this TV on, playing these videos so that the children can be quiet instead of spending time with the kids. Buy them all these funny toys and let them watch these movies, and then you get these kids that have nightmares every night, and the parents wonder where this comes from. But it's those so-called children comic programs that they watch that's got full of aggression, full of demons, a lot of nonsense that we allow our kids to look at. And we wonder why they are aggressive, why we battle to discipline them, why they've got nightmares. But it's because we allow our kids to do that. It's our purpose, it's our responsibility to protect our kids against this influence from the enemy. And we know who the enemy are. Am I right? We know who they are. Right. We can skip 20. I've already talked about that. This is actually one that, don't look at it now, because we'll get to that now. Apart from technology. We've got a couple of other issues that makes it difficult for marriages to survive. You know, I shared it this morning and I'm going to share it again. And I hope it will mean something to you. I am married, I told you, for almost 40 years. And my wife have never been married to another man, but she's married for 10 years. Does it make sense to you? It doesn't. You know why? Because 40 years ago, I convinced her that she loves me. Did you hear what I said? I convinced my wife 40 years ago that she loves me. She wasn't sure about that. And we were in a marriage for 30 years where a lot of things happened. I had to bear the consequences of convincing her that she loves me. And it was not easy. My children also can tell you that. Besides that, she was suffering with depression. Now, depression, technology, well, we luckily when our children were small, there were no technology. When the cell phones came out, our children were all born, and so it was like beginning. But apart from technology, depression is one of our modern sicknesses, probably one of those that's one of the biggest marriage, can I call it, killers. And not all can be happen the same thing. What happened to our marriage was a miracle. And we're not there yet. Yesterday we had this marriage enrichment course, and we will go to everyone we can. Even if it's the same one, we'll go again and again and again, because we cannot stop learning and getting enough to enrich our marriage to become more like what God wants us to be. And that's the same with if you have any kind of difficulty, problem, or even if you don't have, if there's a request to come for prayer, it's not a shame to go for a prayer because we need it. Now, I want Ida to share with you from her side about the depression. It was a miracle that happened. And then she'll also share to you a little bit about the forgiveness. We're talking about unconditional forgiveness and what that did to us.
Okay, that was, I had depression and I actually had OCD. I know a lot of people always joke about OCD and they compare it with perfectionism. But I remember it was in June of 28, and my one sister invited me to stay with her, and she made me 5 appointments with her psychologist and one with her psychiatrist. And actually that guy explained to me the OCD as, in my own words, I would say he described it as blindness, because I didn't see things the way other people saw it, and they saw it in the right way. So that meant for me that I lived in another world than the rest of the people. And that was very stressful. And before that, I have been on antidepressants, and we didn't like...
Can I jump in here quickly? She was on an antidepressant. And you know, one of the reasons she was on that was we, and basically me, decided it's a good thing that she go to work to earn some extra income from the family. Because I feel my income was not good enough, so she needs to go and work, and it's a good job, and whatever. The pressure she had in that work was so much that she went to a psychologist like on a weekly basis, and she got this medicine. And at some point, I said to her, you know what? I'd rather take your mood swings than be married to a zombie, because that's what some of these medicines do to you. It makes you like you've got no feeling, no emotions. You're just like this, carry on. And I couldn't take that. That is horrible. I said to her, we drop that medicine. I'll take your mood swings and live with that. And that's where...
Yeah. And, but we don't tell anybody to leave their medicine because that could be dangerous. But now I was in this situation that the psychiatrist prescribed antidepressants again. And we know he does have a place, but in our case, we didn't want to go through that again. And at that stage, I had a very sore shoulder. I could not lift my hand higher than this. And although my one sister made the appointments with a psychologist and psychiatrist, but my other sister joined us, and the two of us were really praying about that. And it was that night that I asked the Lord for a sign, and I asked him, if he heals my shoulder through a miracle, that will be the sign for me that I needn't go for the antidepressants. And we prayed through the night, and the next morning I was better, but I was not healed. I could lift my arm about this height. So my first sister took the prescription, and she went to the pharmacy to get the pills, but they didn't have it. So she went to the next pharmacy, and the next one, and the next one, and then she came home, and she said she can't find that specific pills in the whole of Pretoria. And myself and my other sister said, yes, we have another night to pray. And we prayed and prayed. And the next morning, I could lift my arm, and I'm still able to lift it. So in this case, God did a miracle for me, and I knew he was healing me emotionally as well. And about what he said about our marriage, healing our marriage, the start of that came when I read that same book of John Bevere, Bait of Satan, and the Lord told me about forgiveness. And when I started to forgive, the Lord really began to change me and change my life and change my heart, and I fell in love with my husband.
That is unconditional forgiving. And you know what? We still have a lot to learn. I don't know how many years we will have, but I really hope that we can still grow and grow and grow and be there for others as well to assist. We listened to John Bevere yesterday. John and Lisa. Who of you know that they had marriage problems? They were married for 5 years, and there was no hope, nothing. They were like, they couldn't see, and they were at this point where they basically, well, Lisa said she prayed that the Lord must change John's heart. And while she was praying, God tell her, no, it's your heart that needs to change. And that is the last slide. that we've got up there. I need Jesus to change me. If you are in a relationship, whether it's a marriage or friendship, and there's a problem, ask God to change my heart. I need, when I've got a difference with Ida, I need to, I ask God to change my heart, not her heart. He will work with her. That's between him and her. I need to give my 100% in my relationship with her. If you are going into a marriage, there's a lot to enjoy about a marriage. There's really, it can be good. It doesn't need to be like our marriage for 30 years. We talked about it this morning on the way to church, and we said there are much more to a marriage than just living together in one house for 40 years. That doesn't make sense. So we need to seek more. And we need to seek it in the right place. Seek it with Jesus. Jesus can change my heart. And again, if I refer to depression, Jesus can heal you. Don't leave your medicine. Don't do that. But maybe he can. Ida left hers. We took a risk. But don't be... We call it gravity. If I got onto this roof and I jump off, I'm going to break my leg at least. Something. That's gravity. But if I'm up there and God tells me to jump, then I jump. But I must be sure, 100% sure, it's God telling me to do it. So whatever you do in your relationship, go to God. If you have a personal problem, go to God. The songs, a couple of the songs we sang, apart from the one, it gets messy all the time. The songs we sang tonight, we will give you all the glory. We can give God the glory of what happens in our lives. Jesus, you are awesome. Jesus is awesome. He cares for every one of us. And then we're also saying, oh, you never let go through the difficult times, through turmoil. Am I right? That's one of the songs we sang. God never let go. How great is our God? You are love. And then come to me. No matter whether I'm a sinful man, come to me. You are free. I've set you free. And we can look at Jesus. Jesus is the answer. We also had that in one of our songs. Jesus is the answer. Have you heard about that? How many of you know about that graffiti on some place? It happened somewhere where somebody wrote, Jesus is the answer. And then another person came and he wrote, yes, but what's the question? Then somebody else came and he said, no matter the question, Jesus is still the answer. And that is the truth. Whatever the question, Jesus is the answer. If it's our marriage, if it's our relationships, if it's depression, if it's work, if it's money, if it's whatever, Jesus is the answer. Run to Jesus. So, tonight, I think what I want to do, want to ask you to, let's get into like groups of four or five. Philip always saying, you know, four or five, whatever, four or five together. Just sit with the people around you. And we pray about relationship. We pray about, I'm not going to ask it, but I know there are people in this church tonight that battles with depression. And I know there's somebody here tonight, what we mentioned earlier, somebody who needs to come and say, I don't experience love from anybody, not from God. But let us get into groups and pray for marriages, for relationships. There's another relationship that's very close to our hearts that I want to mention to you. You are, most of you are unmarried people, and sometimes you have the need to reach out to other people, or you, there are people that are lonely. We need to pray to God that He opens our eyes and our hearts for those people that are lonely, that you can invite and pull into your group and mean something to that person. So let us pray for that tonight. Let's get into groups. Pray for marriages. Pray for relationships. Pray for people with depression. And pray for lonely people. Okay. I think while we get together, you can do the music for us in the meantime. And then, obviously, if you have something you want somebody to pray, you're more than welcome. You must come to the front. And let us pray with you and for you. Okay.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.